This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We'll talk about the new anti-smoking ordinance, which goes in effect June 1st, as in 2 days from today. Less than 48 hours from now, smoking will be banned in most public places in our community, and it was a long way to get there. We'll talk with Reagan Carter of Smoke-Free EBR about this. We may also hear from a smoking proponent. Some people are not happy about this. And Nancy Addison, a best-selling health author who has moved to Baton Rouge, is here to talk about her work, including the link between diet and diabetes. And we'll have all of this coming soon right here on Talk Louisiana. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. And if you're in the Baton Rouge calling area, you can save a few digits and dial 297-5633 or send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We begin our discussion today about the new anti-smoking ordinance, which becomes the law of the city of Baton Rouge come Thursday, the first day of June, as in 2 days from now. Smoking will be banned in most public venues in our community, and it was a huge push by those who were against smoking, who made this happen and were successful in their endeavor. And with us to talk about it is Reagan Carter of Smoke-Free EBR, an underwriter for WRKF. And we'll also hear from the veteran performer Rusty Yates, one of the best singers this city has, who performs in various venues like, he's at Churchill's, which of course is a place where there's lots of smoking. He's at Geno's, he's at Ben 77, and many other places, and we'll talk with him about what he thinks about this new environment. But Reagan Carter, I'm sure you're pleased that this day is upon us.
Yes, so excited, and thank you so much for having me, Jim. The first thing that we like for people to know is we know that this is often referred to as a smoking ban, and in our public health work, we refer to as a Clean Air Act because we believe that people deserve to breathe in healthy and clean air.
Well, these places where smoking will now be prohibited inside, people can still go outside, I would think. It's not a ban completely on smoking. It's just a ban on smoking inside the corridors of these buildings.
Exactly, and thank you for highlighting that for us. That's exactly what it is. It is prohibiting smoking indoors. Establishments will be able to have patios where smoking is allowed outdoors, but smoking will be prohibited inside.
What are the exceptions?
The exceptions are, like we just said, outdoors. Currently in Louisiana, there was already a state law that prohibited smoking in restaurants, and so people throughout the state are actually used to smoking being prohibited inside spaces. And so the exceptions are places that are outside. You can have your patios, you can have your courtyard. Smoking is allowed there. And then additionally, we know that there is a concern in Louisiana in particular. We have lots of cigar bars, and in the Baton Rouge area, we are aware that there are cigar bars. And those places, if a certain percentage of their sales are specific to cigar and tobacco products, then smoking is allowed within those establishments.
So smoking will still be part of the environment at Churchill's, where Rusty performs regularly.
Correct. Because people who go into cigar bars, they know that they're walking into a cigar bar, and they know that smoking is what happens in a cigar bar. We're concerned about bar and casino workers, musicians, and those who work in environments that are exposed to secondhand smoke.
This is a big adjustment for the casinos.
Yes, and we expect for it to be a big adjustment for businesses. We know that when you've operated your business a certain way and there's any policy change, whether that is a prohibit of smoking indoors, or let's just say there's a policy change around water quality, then businesses have to adjust to those changes.
So if there's a business owner who's a smoker, and he or she in the past would close the door and smoke in private, that's a no-no now, isn't it?
Correct.
877-217-5757. And as noted, we have Rusty Yates, who for 39 years has been doing his thing. And this man is an exceptional performer who calls Baton Rouge home. And Rusty Yates, your thoughts about this new ordinance. What do you think of it? Is it good or bad?
Well, the people have spoken, or at least enough of the people have spoken, and given over their rights to the government. I know that you can still smoke outside if it's allowed, but you know, and for all of those people out there that don't want smoking, you know, I understand. I myself smoke cigars. I don't particularly care for cigarette smoke. I don't think a person should smoke cigarettes and inhale them. But the government, once again, anytime you have the government telling you that you can't do something that is legal, it's otherwise legal, and they're telling you you can't do something, that's not a good thing. It's just not. You're giving over your rights. Okay, so we've got this passed. Now, what's next?
Well, you've been performing, Rusty, as I noted, almost 40 years, and through those years, you've had a lot of so-called passive smoke that you've inhaled. Probably not good for your health, but you're okay with that. Why?
Because I don't believe it hurts me in any way. I just don't. This whole secondhand smoke argument has never passed muster with me. My grandfather smoked cigarettes my entire life. When I was a kid, I used to sit in his lap sometimes when he had a cigarette in the house. No one ever complained. It didn't bother me. It was just something he did. It didn't make me go, oh, my gosh, I'm inhaling secondhand smoke. I never even heard that term until I moved away to Vegas and moved back here in 1990. And as time passed, I started hearing the term secondhand smoke.
All right, well, I want Reagan Carter to respond. Rusty, don't go anywhere, but you believe that there's definitive knowledge that secondhand smoke is dangerous. Why do you think Rusty is off track with his statement that secondhand smoke is not a problem?
Well, first I would say, Rusty, he's one of the lucky ones who has been exposed to secondhand smoke for numerous years and has not seen any adverse effects from that exposure. People in Louisiana and across this nation die every day from exposure to secondhand smoke. The Centers for Disease Control has linked secondhand smoke exposure to heart disease, to stroke, and as well as cancer. And so there is definitive research. There is, unfortunately, deaths related every day to exposure to secondhand smoke.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines and take some emails as well at talk@talklouisiana.org. Rusty Yates, who is an impressive performer, who is, I think, approaching his 60th birthday, and he is a man who's been exposed to secondhand smoke at venues in Las Vegas and Baton Rouge and other places for almost 40 years, and says he's okay with it, has no health problems that he's aware of because of it. Reagan Carter, who says secondhand smoke is terrible, and that's why the smoking ordinance that Baton Rouge is imposing come June 1st is an necessity. There are people, Reagan, who say that even something called third-hand smoke is an issue. How does that work?
Well, they're exactly correct. The research is growing around third-hand smoke, but it's exactly what it sounds like. And I'll use the example of the working mother that works at the casino. She's exposed to secondhand smoke for 12 hours in the casino. She goes home. She's helping her kids with homework. She's taking care of her household. Everyone in her household is then exposed to the smell and the toxins of the smoke that's in her clothes.
Jim and Walker. Hi, Jim. You're on the air with Rusty Yates and Reagan Carter. Jim, good morning.
Oh, gentlemen. You know, Rusty, I got a couple questions for you real quick. And the first one was prior to 1944, did we know anything about atomic bombs?
Okay, I think we know the answer to that. Now, what's your next
question? Of course,
question?
The next question, of course, you know, after we just let's believe in science, is would you be okay with me coming next to you and just start screaming at the top of my lungs where you're at? Is my noise pollution okay with you compared to, you know, your air pollution?
All right. That's a valid question. There are those who believe even if smoking is not dangerous, that people who don't like it shouldn't have to be a part of an environment that that smoking is prevalent. What do you think how do you answer people who say that, Rusty Yates?
Well, that's very simple. It's common sense. If you don't like smoke, and I understand, I get it, go somewhere else. Go somewhere where they don't smoke. That's the beauty of the United States of America. When you're free to do legal things, you can go somewhere where they don't have it. You can go to the places that don't have it. The places that choose to have it are free to do that. That word free is very important. They're free to do it. If you don't want to go there, don't go there.
So you're saying, let me get this straight. You're saying that if a merchant had decided on his or her own to ban smoking, you would be okay with that. You just don't like the government.
Absolutely.
Okay. Reagan, your thoughts about Rusty's statement.
Yes, and so we believe that it is the government's responsibility to protect public health, and that would include eliminated exposure to secondhand smoke. And so we believe that that is the government responsibility. One of our coalition partners like to use the example of, you know, the government's responsibility to make sure that the food in restaurants is safe, the water quality is safe. And so we believe that air quality and healthy air falls under that government responsibility as well.
877-217-5757 is your number. In Baton Rouge, 297-5633. We're going to go back to the phone lines after a short break. Reagan Carter with Smoke-Free EBR and the talented Rusty Yates, who performs 200 nights a year, and most of those nights through his career have been at smoke-filled places. And he says his health is just fine, and he's a cigar smoker himself. We'll talk about the new ordinance after this pause on WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Thursday night at midnight, as in tomorrow night, there will be a big change in Baton Rouge. Smoking will be banned in almost all public places. A few exceptions, those grandfathered in and those who do business, a percentage of their business from smoking products like Churchill's, they'll still be allowed to do what they've done. But most places, it'll be a no-go if you want to smoke in the building, and that includes businesses in our community. It includes casinos, and some folks are quite happy about this, and others are up in arms. And Rusty Yates, the veteran performer, says he liked it the way it was. There was no reason to change it. The government has no business getting involved in this. And Reagan Carter of Smoke-Free EBR, a WRKF underwriter, saying that this is something the government has every right to do to protect the citizens of this community. This does not apply to Zachary or Baker or some of the outlying places in Baton Rouge, does it, Reagan?
No, it doesn't. It actually only applies to the city limits of Baton Rouge.
877-217-5757. Steve Wilson, downtown. Hi, Steve. You're on the air with Reagan and Rusty.
Good morning, Jim. Love listening to your show. Good morning, Rusty. I'd like to compliment Rusty. He played our daughter's wedding recently. We had a ball. It was so good at the Capitol Park Museum. And my request beforehand, I think it was his brother that worked with me, said, we have been blown out of places with the volume. There seems to be this tendency, well, it's been there a long time, but in lots of indoor as well as outdoor venues, including Live at 5, for the volume to go up so loud that it's beyond what ears should be able to tolerate. So I think dovetailing with the noise pollution statement by the guy earlier, Rusty and his band toned it down for us old folks enough where we could sing along and enjoy the music. But, man, even in church, Jim, we go to worship, and sometimes the volume is so loud we can't hear ourselves sing.
All right, well, we'll get his take on volume control, but what about smoking control? Is that something you're happy about or not so happy about?
Indoors, yes, I am happy about it. But I've got to admit, recently I was at a friend's Memorial Day for a barbecue, and outdoors I loved the smell of a cigar while we were having a cocktail, even though I wasn't smoking it.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Rusty, what about noise control? Does it go hand in glove with what we're talking about with the government getting involved in smoking?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that gentleman complimenting me, my band, and we were we certainly enjoyed playing for his venue and his event and and that's one of the great things I get to do. But anyway, please restate that question for me.
As far as noise control, he was saying that you know, there are laws against that as well.
Right.
But should the government get involved in that?
Well, to the degree that you want to keep the noise down, to a reasonable level. But when I was a kid growing up, we had smoking sections and non-smoking sections, and I didn't smoke. I didn't even smoke. When I say kid, up until I was about 36 years old, never once in my mind ever when I went to a restaurant did it cross my mind to say, I'm not going there because I don't like the smell of smoke. I don't enjoy the smoke. If I didn't want the smoking, I went on the non-smoking side, and it worked out fine. But that was put in place by the venue.
All right. Would that work, Reagan Carter, just to have a non-smoking section?
Well, absolutely not, because the reason why Louisiana 10 years ago implemented the state law to prohibit smoking in restaurants is because the research showed that that does not work. You separate a section, it's one table, and then the table 10 feet away, that smoke is still in the air. And so non-smoking sections absolutely do not work.
I can recall a day when there were smoking sections on airplanes.
I have certainly heard people mention that. And so can you imagine going back to those days where that recycled air of smoke is just circulating around everyone? And so non-smoking sections absolutely do not work because smoke travels. And so it's traveling in the air from one part of a building to the next part.
All right. A couple of emails. Tracy at the Capitol says this will definitely hurt the casino's business, may cause one of the casinos in Baton Rouge, one of the three, to go out of business. Harrah's had a decline in business. Is this a concern?
Well, we are certainly for businesses being successful. And so there is no purpose of the smoking ordinance to impact business. The sole purpose of the smoking ordinance is to protect the health and safety of bar, casino workers, entertainers, and patrons. However, we are aware that Harrah's has reported some decline in revenue. We also know that Harrah's reported decline in revenue prior to the smoking ordinance being implemented in New Orleans, as well as casinos in Baton Rouge as recently as February and March. They reported decline in revenue, and that decline cannot be correlated to smoke-free because smoke-free hasn't even been implemented yet.
AJ writes, I find it sad and appalling that safety issues are viewed as the government controlling you. I look forward to going out to live music again without having to bring an inhaler. I'm also very glad that places like Churchill's or vape establishments are still allowed to smoke if they want to, as they are tobacco establishments. Rusty, your thoughts?
Well, I keep hearing we believe. But what about all the people that believe other than that? I believe that secondhand smoke doesn't hurt you, and so there's the big argument. My main argument about any of this is what's next. So once you've achieved this, what is the next thing you're going to come along and tell me that we can't do? And by the way, if it's so bad, how come they didn't try to push for the government, to just ban it completely? The government doesn't want to ban smoking because they make too much money off of it. I mean, the taxes are unbelievable. And so if you have, you're not banning smoking. You're just telling people where they can do it and where they can't do it. Well,
all right. Well, your response, Reagan Carter.
Yes. And so the first response is that prior to us beginning to work on this ordinance, we did some surveys. And that survey revealed that over 70% of citizens in Baton Rouge wanted this smoking ordinance to take place. And so if you go with anyone's argument around government, then you can go with the majority rules. And that is over 70% of people in Baton Rouge support this ordinance.
Well, that's about the number of people who don't smoke as opposed to those who do, 70-30. 30% is a wide margin. But there were times in our world in which if you had polled people on segregation, they would have said that's a great thing, probably the majority. So is it always a case where the majority is right?
there is certainly situations, and your example of segregation is one of them, certainly situation where the majority may not be right. But when you have the majority and you have the public health research and you have the data that all support that secondhand smoke is harmful and secondhand smoke is related to death, then in those instances, when all of that data comes mm-hmm. into play, then we know that this is a great thing for public health.
Rusty, you say you have no effects from all those years of inhaling smoke from patrons at these places and sometimes confined spaces with low ceilings. No problems at all.
I've not had any problems, no. And I know, you know, I've met so many people in my life that don't smoke, who don't go to places where they smoke. They're health nuts, and they still got lung cancer and died. I know people like that, you know, and it just happens. I'm sure we've all heard of people who were perfectly healthy and didn't smoke and wasn't around smoke, and they died anyway.
And so I would agree that there are situations where you have people who are seemingly healthy that unfortunately die of cancers, and some of those cancers may be lung cancer. And those are unfortunate situations. However, we still have the data. We still have the research. We still have the Centers for Disease Control, the American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, that all have the data that supports that exposure to secondhand smoke is related to death.
877-217-5757 is your number. Some more time to go with Rusty Yates and Reagan Carter on opposite sides of the new smoking ordinance, which takes effect 2 days right here in Baton Rouge. We're back after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. The fabulous singer and piano player Rusty Yates is in the house, telephonically, talking about why he believes that establishments that up until now have been allowed to have patrons who are smoking should be allowed to do what they want to do. And Reagan Carter is with us from Smoke-Free EBR, who thinks the new ordinance going into effect the 1st, as in 2 days from now, Friday, June 1st, is a good thing for Baton Rouge and for the health of our citizens in East Baton Rouge Parish, although this does not include Zachary or Baker, only businesses in Baton Rouge, and some will be allowed to continue as they are, like Churchill's, where Rusty performs on a regular basis. 877-217-5757, and I think it's Steve in Shenandoah. Steve, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning, Jim. Good morning, everybody. Reagan said something about how this smoking ban isn't going to affect businesses much at all. Well, let me tell you, I know a lot of bar owners that 90% of their clientele are smokers. And the reason they go to bars is because they can't go to eating establishments that have bars that are smoke-free. So they have it out to go to an actual bar. Why would she say that this is not going to hurt them? Because people who smoke aren't going to be going to the bars as much anymore because they don't want to go outside in 95-degree weather to have a cigarette in some alleyway. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that she says that.
Like they're second-class citizens.
Exactly. Third, fourth class. You know, I'm really sick of the government trying to tell us everything that we should and shouldn't do. It's the bar owner's business if she wants to have smokers in there or not. I understand if they mm-hmm. serve food. Okay, that's fine. But this is a bar. This is where people go to smoke and relax and socialize. And she is going to take that away from us. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Are you taking something good away from Steve?
Well, actually, Steve, I said that we are pro-business, and we do not want the smoking ordinance to impact business. I actually did not say that it wouldn't. I was speaking in particular to the casino's revenue, particularly in Baton Rouge, that has already reported a drop in revenue and how that could not be related to the smoking ordinance because it has not gone into effect. So I just wanted to clear up my statement first. And in reference to some of those bar owners that have a lot of their patrons who smoke, we do recognize that as a concern for them and their business. However, even if it's 90% of those people who smoke, we still have those bar workers and the 10% of the patrons who don't smoke that are still putting their health at risk, in particular the bar workers who are going to work and they're having to choose between their health and their paycheck when they're working 8 to 12-hour shifts and they're being exposed to smoke for that 12 hours.
Keith on Corsi asks about the mystique of smoking in Casablanca, for example. There was a lot of smoking at Rick's. Are you taking away from the mystique of something that is part of our culture or has been for, I guess, a century or so?
Well, I think that when you look back at history, of course, there was some alluring effect to smoking and a certain quality that people looked at, that smoking was something that was socially acceptable and something that was popular. Of course, then we didn't have the data that we have now. Just like with other health behaviors, we maybe didn't have the data 30 years ago that supports a different behavior that we do now today.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in our remaining moments with Reagan Carter of Smoke-Free EBR and Rusty Yates of Man About Town. He performs in a lot of venues, some of which already banned smoking, but one in particular, he's a regular at Churchill's. Does this 200 nights a year, and most of those places through the years have permitted smoking. And the question about Rick's and Casablanca from Keith, it might also be noted that Humphrey Bogart also died at 57 from throat cancer. So even though he looked good smoking, it probably wasn't a good thing for him, Rusty Yates.
Well, the whole mystique thing has never been something that entered my mind because I don't smoke cigars for mystique. I smoke them because I enjoy them, and it's my right to do so, although now I can't. In certain places, in fact, most places, I can't do that.
Calvin and Zachary. Hi, Calvin. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, sir. I wanted to chime in. I'm surprised that no one has brought up the 40 years ago, the high-tech commercial smoke ionization units back in the day, they're even more better nowadays than they were then. But a lot of locations used to run them high-powered commercial smoke ionizers, and they would maybe 100 people smoking, and the air would be crystal clear.
Based on ventilation, can you mitigate some of the bad things by having a good ventilation system, Reagan Carter?
No, you cannot. And thankfully, the Air Conditioning Refrigeration Association, they actually put out their own research that there is absolutely no ventilation system that exists that can clear out the toxins from smoke. And so basically, even your highest quality ventilation system is only clearing the actual smoke from the air, so the appearance of the smoke, but not the toxins. And so even if that appearance of smoke is gone, the toxins and the exposure to those toxins remain.
All right. Thank you, Calvin. Gene in Mid-City. Hi, Gene. You're on the air with Reagan and Rusty.
Hi, Reagan. I just wanted to say that, like, I don't think that smoking in a bar should just be outright banned. I think that we should have an option between the two. You know, there should be a non-smoking bar and a place that we can smoke and relax the way that we choose. I'll take my response off air.
All right. Is there a middle ground that could involve an establishment that had one part that, I guess, maybe a different building that has smoking and another one that has non-smoking?
Well,
and the two shall not meet?
I think that there's not a compromise. Well, I know that there's no compromise on health. I think that the callers who have issues with the smoking ordinance in some way feel like this is attack on smokers, and it is certainly not. I agree that although smoking itself is harmful, secondhand smoke is harmful, we are in no way trying to tell smokers that they cannot smoke. We are simply saying that your smoking is exposing other people to the harmful effects of secondhand smoke.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, David.
Oh, thank you. The New York Times science section has run articles in recent months. Third-hand smoke, not secondhand smoke, third-hand smoke is a hazard to your health. If you sit in an automobile where somebody previously smoked, that is a hazard to your health. If you live in an apartment or a home where someone previously smoked, even if the place has been, the carpet's been replaced, the place has been painted, that is a hazardous to your health. I think smoking should be banned nationwide everywhere, period.
All right. Thank you, David. D.W. Hunt writes, far too many Americans, like Mr. Yates, confuse rights with privileges. The only rights we have are guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, including the right to free speech and religion. Anything else, including smoking, driving a car, is a privilege granted by the government. It's unfortunate that our Constitution doesn't clearly state that government has no compelling interest in one's behavior until such behavior impacts civil society. Were that the case, we could all sit at home and smoke whatever we damn well please. Rusty Yates, D.W. Hunt says this is not a constitutional right, like the right to bear arms or the right to free speech, that the government has every right to get involved. Your thoughts?
Well, we have the right to pursuit of happiness, and that's just a legal. This is something that's legal. It's been legal for, well, way before I was born. You have the right to pursuit of happiness, and so you are taking my right away to do that. Now, if it weren't legal, if it had never been legal, I would have grown up in a society where it wasn't, and it was just something that I would have had to accept. But you know, and I'm not somebody that goes around trying to break the law. So I do want to clarify one thing. Reagan kept saying that there's no correlation to the casinos losing money and businesses losing money because the smoking ban hadn't taken effect yet. A lot of them already implemented it themselves.
All right. That is the case in some cases. Paul at East Baton Rouge. Paul, you're on. Please be brief. You're on with Reagan and Rusty.
I lived in Houston,
Paula.
Texas, and am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I lived in Houston, Texas for many years, and secondhand smoke was being discussed in the early 80s. And I used to be a dental hygienist, and we would go to MD Anderson to take care of patients that had cancer in their throat, in different areas of their mouth. And if you saw those patients and how much they had to cut on their face and have prosthetic pieces either on their ears or their throat or their lips or wherever, you wouldn't pick up a cigarette.
All right. Thank you, Paula. Michael at LSU, you'll be our final caller. Please be brief. Hi, Michael.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. And I wanted to comment on the legality argument, whether something's been previously illegal or it's currently illegal or it was previously legal or whatever. That really has no basis on whether it's right or wrong. That's the government deciding what should be legal or not. You know, opinions change. Facts don't change, but our understanding of the facts change. And that's pretty much it. Just comment.
All right. Quickly, your parting thoughts as we approach Friday. Is this a brave new day, Reagan Carter?
Yes, so thanks for having us on this morning. We greatly appreciate it, and thanks to all of the callers. We are simply excited to have Baton Rouge join some of the other larger municipalities in the state of Louisiana, like New Orleans and Lafayette, as well as join over 20 other states to go smoke-free.
And Rusty Yates, my guess is that you'll be a good citizen and live with the ordinance.
Well, I'll be just like everything else they take away from us.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. Good talking with you. We're back. Stay tuned. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and we switch gears, and we're joined by Nancy Addison. She is an internationally renowned health expert, has written 5 books about the organic, healthy life. And a few weeks ago, she was at Cottonwood Books and told Danny Plaisance that she was moving to Baton Rouge, and he said, you need to get this lady on the show. And so here she is, and welcome aboard, Nancy.
Hello, and it's a pleasure to be here.
And you've lived here how long now?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Well, good for you, and I guess good for us. But she is an internationally acclaimed expert on health, and her work is quoted far and wide, and particularly about diet in its relation to our health. And in this area, we have, in addition to a lot of people who smoke, we have a lot of people with type 2 diabetes. How much of a factor is diet?
It's actually a huge factor. And over the last 50 years, disease has really risen, like diabetes has risen 700% in the last 50 years. And the research really does show that diet has a direct impact on really all disease and our health and well-being.
Well, if we eat a poor diet, if we're prone to have type 2 diabetes, how much of a factor is this in driving up glucose and making us in danger of having all kinds of health issues related to diabetes?
Really, our diet, it is what turns into our cells, our blood, and our tissue. So it directly impacts our overall health all the time. One of the things I like to work with people is not having any kind of depravity in their diet and their traditions and their lifestyle, but just switching out higher quality, different types of ingredients that can keep that wonderful flavor or experience and actually contribute to a better health and possibly reversing disease like diabetes.
Is diet the biggest factor in obesity?
I would say that it is a combination of lifestyle. Exercise has a huge impact on obesity, and really our sedentary lifestyle that has come about more so because of technology, people being inside more often and getting out less. I think it is definitely a combination.
Today in the New York Times, there's an op-ed piece by Kelly DeVos, and she says, "How can I have type 2 diabetes? I eat fruits and vegetables. I walk. I do Pilates. You can be healthy at any size, you know." And her doctor responded, "Look at where you are. You're not healthy at any size. Unless you make some major changes, you've probably got about 10 years left to live." And obesity is something that drives those numbers up, and losing weight, something Dr. Bill Cassidy, of all people, once told me. He says, "It's amazing what you can accomplished by just losing 5 or 10 pounds.
Yes, and I will agree with that. And what people don't realize is so many things that are even just like little habits that we have that can, if you address those or change those, and some of these are inexpensive and very easy, and I list a lot of these in my book, Lose Weight, Get Healthy, and Never Be on a Diet Again. But people can implement these very easily, and it's things that we don't even really acknowledge that may be contributing to disease or obesity that we can switch and make that into a lifestyle change that can contribute to really losing weight, getting healthy, and not really having to think about mm-hmm. that anymore.
Well, Nancy is a model, an actress, an artist, and she is not overweight, but you did have prediabetes since high school. How can you have diabetes issues and not be in poor shape? Is it heredity?
So much of it has to do with our lifestyle, our environment, and the quality of the food that we're having. And over the last 50 years, the quality of our food in this country has dramatically changed. We've added more things to it, ingredients that are artificial or synthetic, different types of sweeteners that are man-made manufactured that are not normal, and a lot more processed foods that really weren't as prevalent before World War II. And so as we have grown up in more of a fast food environment with more processed and packaged foods, we've been ingesting things that really aren't normal for our health and well-being and our natural for our body to absorb. And so I help people maybe, should I say, just transition off of some of these fast processed foods and more into eating more whole, fresh, real food that really does help our body heal and become healthier.
You're an advocate of the Mediterranean diet. Why is that a good thing?
It's based on more fruits and vegetables and fresh local foods in your diet. And I think it also has a lot to do with how you have a meal. Sitting down and having an experience, eating slowly and enjoying that as compared to getting food through your window and mm-hmm. eating on the run or eating in your car. It's a kind of a lifestyle situation as well as just the diet that has more fresh fruits, vegetables in your.
And you also, I think you're an advocate of exercise. Exercise is a key component as well, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, yes. I am a big proponent of that. And really, exercise can do so much for our body's overall health. And really, just getting it moving, our lymphatic system needs to have exercise in order for it to move. Because of our sedentary lifestyle in the last 50 years, you know, getting out and just really just sitting at a computer, if you get up and walk around 5 minutes every 30 minutes or an hour, it can make a huge impact in your health.
One of the titles of your book that you stated a little earlier, of one of the five books, which was an International Book Award finalist, Lose Weight, Get Healthy, Never Have to Be on a Diet Again. When we talk about diets, we're talking about a temporary thing, but you believe in a lifestyle choice that involves not having to count calories. You're just automatically are doing the right thing. But how can that be achieved when somebody has years and years of doing all the wrong things?
Actually, I meet people where they are. And with my books, people say that my books are like sitting and having me talk to them. But when we do things, it becomes a habit. And like putting the word diet into your subconscious, your body automatically goes into kind of a fear mode of, oh, you're going to be deprived. And your body starts going into a starvation kind of mode where it's holding on to your calories and your weight. And when we start changing our way of life and how we eat food and the quality of the food we eat, and go out into more of a I'm going to eat for my health instead of I'm going to eat to lose weight, it tells your subconscious that you're changing things. And when you choose this and you move into that kind of lifestyle, I really do believe it becomes a habit, it becomes easier, and you really don't have to think about it anymore. And you start feeling better. That gives you inspiration and motivation. And then the people around you start picking up on that as well, and it just becomes easier.
Are you a vegetarian?
I am. And I've been that way about 30 years, and it has adding more plant-based foods to my diet, I've found, has really dramatically impacted my health. And so I specialize in that.
And one of Nancy's other books is How to Be a Healthy Vegetarian. What about sugar? Is that a killer?
It depends on the type of sugar. And so I have extensive chapters in my books on sugar and how you can switch out and have healthier varieties. But there are certain sugars that really do contribute to things like diabetes and cancer. And so I look at all of those and teach people how to pick healthier versions of that. And I really believe people are so intelligent and ready to make certain choices if they can choose which ones are the better varieties. So much of the information people get today on nutrition is really from advertising, and a lot of that is what I would consider unreal and not real.
We do a lot of consumption of alcohol in these parts, and when you do that, you're going to add a lot of sugar to what you're taking in. Is that dangerous?
Well, I have to admit, I have quite a few clients who don't want to give up their cocktails, and so I help them choose healthier varieties or healthy versions of their cocktail so that they can still enjoy their libations.
What's a healthy cocktail?
Well, I like to think that certain ingredients can contribute less to disease. And so I help people pick organic quality cocktails that have less sugar or may have higher quality ingredients in them.
Well, we look forward to visiting with you again soon. The Organic Healthy Life, five books that have been bestsellers and internationally recognized from Nancy Addison, who now calls Baton Rouge home. So let's do it again soon, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you for listening to WRKF. Have a great day and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.